This show is brought to you by Safety FM. The Jay Allen Show is streaming now on safetyfm.live.
Hello and welcome to the Jay Allen Show. I hope you're enjoying the day so far, being Tuesday, April the 28th. A lot of different things going on our planet currently. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to cover some information with you. Over the last little bit, we've been having a discussion that some things would be changing on safetyfm.com come May the 1st. So here over the next few days, you will see some changes with the way that some of our podcasts are being handled on Safety FM, and also on how the radio stream is set up. So right now, if you go to safetyfm.com and you click on a podcast, it's going to direct you to the webpage of where the content came from. Previously, it was actually just kind of keeping you there on the Safety FM page. Also, you'll start noticing, if you have been following us on the Spreaker site, where it's going to redirect you to where the original source of the podcast is coming from. All of that will go into effect starting May the 1st. Some of them are already doing it now. Also, you'll realize that some of the podcasts that are on Safety FM will be going away. So I wanted to bring that up before you notice that on Friday. I mean, a good chunk of them are still staying, but some of them are going and no longer continuing to podcast with our network. So I wanted to bring that up. The changes that you'll see on the radio station is we're going to focus more on the radio station. I tell you that all the time. And now we'll have a schedule available, and you'll see that available on Friday, May the 1st, on how we'll have the shows lined up. I'm sure some changes will take place with that, because that's how normal radio scheduling goes. So I wanted to bring that up to you before we go into today's conversation. Today, on the Jay Allen Show, I sit down and speak with Kevin Lombardo. He is the CEO and president of Dorn. Dorn is a wellness-based pain management and early intervention prevention evidence-based specialty provider that treats significant cost savings for employers on workers' compensation and medical claims, as well as cost and OSHA recordables associated with painful muscular conditions. So let me not take too long and let's get started with this conversation with Kevin Lombardo. Kevin, welcome to the show.
No worries. Hope y'all are safe and healthy around you.
Yeah, so far everything seems to be okay. How about in your direction?
We're doing okay. Family's good, and you know, we're taking all the precautions and doing what we got to do, but getting a little antsy, but you know, we're doing what we got to do.
Now, Kevin, the area that you're in Colorado, are you under restriction on being able to go out?
Yeah, well, we are. It's but, you know, we have my wife has horses, so she has to go to the barn every day and take care of them and, you know, grocery shopping, stuff like that. But, you know, other than that, there's nothing to do, right? Restaurants are closed and stores are closed, retail's closed. So it's just a matter of getting out. We do walk the dogs every day just to get some fresh air and some exercise. So we're not that restrictive where you're not even allowed to walk your pets. So, you figure out how to deal with it. You deal with it. You know, I like to create a structure for myself so that the days are somewhat structured and so that you get a routine going, whatever that routine happens to be.
So, Kevin, I know that I had put out kind of like a call to action asking people to come on and talk about what they do and, you know, how they might be able to help out people, you know, with their business. So what kind of enticed you to reach out?
Well, you know, I think our business has grown about 4x over the last 3 years. And part of that is getting exposure. And so, you know, I'm glad to talk about things that are not advertising Dorn, but also glad to talk about Dorn. I think what we do and what we contribute to organizations has been a tremendous impact of injury avoidance, cost savings, increase in productivity, morale, and so forth. And so, you know, in the area of safety and safety-mindedness, I'm always glad to talk about it. I, you know, know, I speak at various conferences throughout the year in that non-commercial way. So I'm glad to take a conversation any which way. So seeing that there was, somebody was asking for, hey, is there anybody out there who wants to have some conversation around safety and stuff? I'm glad to have that.
So what are you seeing exactly now occur? I mean, I know that you're saying that you go to organizations and then you do some public speaking, but with that being the case, what kind of impact is this whole COVID-19 having on your business?
On our business, it's had a pretty significant impact. I mean, a lot of what we do is we're on site and we're working with employees to give you a real high level of what we do. We're basically a wellness-based pain management injury prevention program, and through a series of services from hands-on manual therapy, education training, ergonomics, and some technology solutions, our whole job is to keep people out of the healthcare, keep them out of the working comp system. That being said, a good portion of our business is on site working directly with employees. So in the case of our organization, we've seen a pretty significant impact of a couple of things. One, we have a lot of clients who themselves have had to shutter for a period of time, so our services aren't needed. Other cases, they deemed any outside vendor, especially in the beginning of the process, an outside vendor as non-essential. And lastly, there's another third of our clients that have deemed us extremely essential because of the impact. And so we're still on site. So we take a lot of precautions and so forth. But so the impact's been there. But what we've actually done to help offset that is we have a number of technology solutions, and we've introduced some virtual solutions where we could do virtual training, live webinars with the sites. We have some technology solutions that we don't need to be on site, things of that nature. So we're trying to put those in front of folks, and those who, after probably the first 3 weeks or so of just kind of being in shock and trying to figure out how to keep their employees healthy, are now starting to figure out, okay, now I have to balance that with the need to keep them safe as well. And the last piece of what we're doing now, we're starting to partner with our clients that, as they're all starting to think about, okay, we're going to come back to work in 1 week or 1 month, depending on their state, depending on their locale. What does that ramp up look like? We don't want them because, for example, we're in 14 mattress manufacturing sites, and it's a very labor-intensive job for the employees. Well, in 12 of their sites are actually shut down. So those people in those 12 sites, if they haven't been using their muscles and they've been off for a month or a month and a half, unless they're working out, and more than likely they're not, coming back to work is going to be high risk. So what we're trying to do with the employers now is have those discussions now before they show up, so that even if they don't want our manual therapy, which is one-on-one touching, and we're comfortable that somebody might say, look, we're not ready for that yet, let's do some social distancing training. Let's give them the proper body mechanics. Let's give them the tools to step back into those jobs. So we're really focused now with our clients on the planning for restarting programs and things of that nature. So a little long-winded there, but wanted to kind of address where we came from, where we are, and where we're going with these folks.
This is the Jay Allen Show.
What are you doing about social distancing? What if you still need to be transported from one place to another? We at Royal Transportation Group know that we're all in this together. As we continue to monitor the COVID-19 situation, and we will follow guidance from the public health officials and government agencies so we can continue to support our customers in our community as needed. If you need to travel but you don't want to fly, let us drive you. With the current crisis at hand, flying may not be an option. Let us help you with your distance travel in one of our safe, disinfected, chauffeured vehicles. No matter how far you need to go, we can help. Here are a few examples of how we have helped customers over the past few days. Seasonal vacationers traveling back home for the summer. College students with school closures heading home.
transportation out of high exposure areas.
Necessary business travel. Getting your parents back home. We at Royal Transportation Group can be with you every step of the way. For more information, call 407-855-2555.
That's 407-855-2555.
Or go to Royal Transportation Group's website at GoOrlandoLimos.com. That's GoOrlandoLimos.com. And make sure to tell them that Jay Allen sent you. Thank you for listening to Safety FM. We are here to help you in this time of need. Make sure to join us on Patreon.com/Safety FM.
And we are back on the Jay Allen Show on Safety FM.
So did some of these virtual resources, did you already have them readily available, or did you have to kind of push some of these things out? Because I've seen some different things throughout, you know, different organizations, especially because, you know, nobody expected this to occur. So how did it come about with some of the virtual solutions that you have?
Yeah, so, you know, over the last couple of years, we introduced some technology solutions, and the way our model works, especially with current clients, it takes a good 6-8 months of socialization of new products and services before, you know, you get some people biting on them. And so we were in that process where the bids were starting to roll out. So with those folks, what we did is we took some of our current solutions and we just, you know, repackaged it for this specific pandemic and concern to get that in front of folks. I don't want to be talking about, oh, we're going to come on site, we're going to do manual therapy, we're going to save you all these millions of dollars, which we do, because that's not the conversation that anybody really wants to have right now. So we kind of repackaged that. We did create some live virtual training that was new that we weren't doing before. Most of our training was on site. That we actually had some experience with the virtual training. And so it just triggered that, you know, let's provide for those organizations that are still running. They may have issues with people working overtime because that means they've ramped up. They could be, they've lost some of their workforce due to COVID, and the people who are there are putting in overtime. And so we wanted to give them tools. So I'd say a majority of them were there. We added one or two more for the virtual training, and it's been very well received by folks. And again, now we're focused on that return to work side of it and getting everybody ready and starting maybe incrementally versus saying, hey, let's just jump back in. If we were there 15 hours a week, we want to be there 15 hours a week next month. No, let's start with 3-4 hours. Let's build it back.
I mean, it sounds like such a different approach on some of the stuff that you were doing. And I mean, especially on how you're getting this rolled out. And then are people already starting to have those conversations with you on how this is going to roll back up? I mean, based on what you're saying there towards the end, are the conversations already started? I mean, I know that supposedly, and I know that we're recording this a little bit early because today is the 16th of April. Sure. Are you already seeing people saying, let's have those conversations? I know that later today, unless it's already happened while I've been in the studio, the president's supposed to be talking about their rollout plan on how they're going to open the economy. So are these conversations already something that are taking place with you in regards of, let's have you come back to you know, to, out into the field?
Well, I'll say yes and no. Okay. We've actually had a couple of clients. We're touching base with our clients every week to 10 days. We just don't want to be spamming them and being on them when they've got a lot to worry about. So by being with them and position ourselves, we're your injury prevention partner. And when you come back to work, you are going to have a higher risk of injury, especially for facilities that have had people on furlough for quite a while. And so organizations, some of them are already starting to schedule within the next 2 to 3 weeks of being back on site. So we want to have those discussions. The others that are not, because maybe their state is even in a more restrictive lockdown environment, what we're doing is we're just starting to socialize the concept that when you think about coming back to work, be it 3 weeks or be it a month and a half from now, part of your planning process has to be the injury prevention side. Be it your own internal systems, be it Dorn, be it something else. It's not all about Dorn. And so partnering with them on the planning side, we're keeping it top of mind because I think 80 to 90% of what people have been doing in the beginning, I got to find masks, got to find PPE, things of that nature, which is the right thing to do. Now we're kind of in a state where, okay, we've not only about the health of people, we have to think about the safety of people. So we have noticed abandonment, I'll call it relaxation, of the intensity around safety. And so what we're trying to say is, okay, the first month had a focus strictly on the health of the people, and we understand that. Time to now compartmentalize and spend some of that time thinking about the safety part. And if you're not even, if you're not ready for us to come back on site, but you're still running, that's where the virtual solutions come in. If you're not running at all and you're coming back to run in the next couple of weeks to a month, your planning cycle should incorporate that, because if you wait until you're up and running and say, we got to get that program back and running. Well, I've got some training to do with my folks, so we don't want to lose that time. I'm just a big believer in planning. And if something shifts because the date shifts, because either something happens and a state extends or whatever it might be, I still want our people to be ready to step in at a moment's notice versus, you're ready to go? Boy, I got to find our folks. We got to retrain them on some things, some of the technology services, those type of stuff. So I think I'll say it's probably half and half. We're getting positive feedback from our reaching out on this. Some of the facilities are thinking about coming back, and we're top of mind with them. And honestly, being top of mind is important, not so much about DORN, but about when people come back to work day one, health and safety is very important. People who've been off, not working, and they're, we focus on musculoskeletal issues. And if their muscles and soft tissues have been lethargic, or people who work in an office and now have been working at home in an environment, not everybody has a home office. They're not all fortunate to have a home office. Those folks could come back with a high risk of injury. And so we want to, we're trying to give them tools now. Some we're giving some free tools. We want to be able, and we want to be ready when they kind of say, we're ready to go back to work. We're their partner. We want to be part of that solution with them.
So do you think that a lot of companies will get away what we call about or getting away from cardinal safety rules? So let's say, and I'm just going to use this as an example, and I'm asking an opinion question, of course, where you might be required to go down the stairs holding onto the handrail, and I'm trying to go as basic as possible as part of the work requirement. So do you think that going forward, some of these cardinal rules that some organizations have in place will be removed because of some of the concerns? Like somebody might say, it's highly contagious if I touch this handrail because somebody could be infected.
I think with our clients, what I see more, Jay, honestly, is that they're looking more for what are the precautions we're going to take. So do we have gloves? Do we have other PPE? Because the new normal, at least probably for the rest of 2020, is I don't think they're rearranging plants and moving equipment around, especially if it's very expensive or very the space constraints don't allow them. But I think they're working around how do we create a little bit of social distancing. I don't know if you're going to see those, taking that basic example that you gave, where I'm sure there's going to be places where that will be relaxed and they won't be as tough on people. I think more and more what we're seeing based on conversations I'm having with the safety directors is I need to find the PPE so that we can bring people back and continue utilizing those sound practices and not create a high risk of tripping down the stairs because they're not holding the rail.
This is the Jay Allen Show.
At Hop University, we cut the bullshit out of human and organizational performance training. We were born out of necessity. We hear it all the time. Human and organizational performance courses are expensive and hard to find. Safety classes put me to sleep. Help. So we did. We offer on-demand, high-quality online courses in human and organizational performance, safety, and leadership, all led by seasoned safety and HOP practitioners. No need to schedule time for that conference, no need to track down the latest guru, and no stuffy classroom required. Join us today at hopuniversity.org. That's hopuniversity.org.
As your business continues to change, so does the support and help that your business needs. Here at Safety Focus Moment, we want to be able to continue to meet the needs that you have as an organization. Just because the world around us has changed does not mean that we're not there for you. we are currently running a special offer to the Safety FM listeners. All speaking engagements, cross-industry workshops, transportation and logistics workshops, and audio services, including commercials such as this one, are available at a special price of 50% off. If you go to safetyfocusmoment.com, that's safetyfocusmoment.com, and use code VIRTUAL, V-I-R-T-U-A-L. That's VIRTUAL, V-I-R-T-U-A-L. You'll get 50% off your order. Please be aware that Safety Focus Moment is here for you, meeting all of your business needs during this unique time in the world. Thank you for listening to Safety FM. We are here to help you in this time of need. Make sure to join us on Patreon/Safety FM.
And we are back on the Jay Allen Show on Safety FM.
And you did use a term in the response there, the new norm. How many times do you think that that's going to be something different? Because I feel like that we're hearing that term quite a bit. Do you think that we're going to continue to see more and more changes as we move forward inside of organizations, especially that are focusing on safety with, we'll say, quote unquote, sure, the new norm?
I think, I have no crystal ball. So
I know, it is, and I always ask those crystal ball questions, so I apologize about that, but it's just kind of the way that I go.
Okay. That's okay. No, I think in reality, what I believe is that in 2020, extreme precautions will always be there for most sites, most organizations, whether it's taking temperatures of people as they come in, whether it's, once the flow of PPE becomes prevalent where it goes behind hospitals and first responders and it can be more available, those type of things, I think there'll be more attention to cleanliness and disinfectants and things of that nature. And then I think what you'll see is as if the vaccine is still 18 months away, this may last 18 months or it'll go into 2021 where people say, okay, the number of cases has not been hard. We're doing okay. It's human nature, right? It's human nature to then maybe relax a little bit. I'd rather see it stay vigilant until the vaccine is available for everybody. But, I can't control what an organization does. We're not that much of a partner that we actually run their safety programs. But I do believe that for 2020, we would probably see a more vigilant focus around those things versus, a facility coming back and it becomes lax. Does that mean there's not going to be exceptions? Does that mean you're not going to have a meatpacking plant in Dakota or here in Greeley, Colorado that has infections running through it? You're going to have some of that. And I don't know if that needs to be the top story every night once we come back, because that's just going to put the fear into everybody. My gosh, it's coming back. It doesn't mean that you hide the story, but it has to be done in context. And if it's one facility where everybody's doing the right things and you have one facility that maybe has relaxed those things a little bit too much and there's a mini outbreak, let's have the right systems in place that's beyond my pay grade as far as health systems and things of that nature to help that organization and those people. But if we create that as the top story in 4 months, then everybody's going to stop and say, man, we got to go back to the way it was. And I don't know if we want that either.
I know it's so many different places that this could end up going when it's all said and done that it's almost difficult to have that conversation of what does the rest of 2020 look like? And all we're doing is, of course, making assumptions of this is what we're hoping. These are kind of potentially the expectations. And I just keep on looking at it. And I think that it's going to have such a large impact across the board when it comes to, of course, the safety side of the business stuff to along the lines of what you're doing. Now, when I was doing a little bit of research before we actually started our conversation, how did you end up in the world of safety? I mean, it seems like you came from a very different background. How did you end up in here?
Well, I'll try to keep the short version because I do tend to go on a little bit, but safety has actually always been first and foremost. Back when I was with an organization called Syneveo, the division I ran was 9 acquisitions over 3 years. When we put those acquisitions, that's back when roll-ups was not a bad term, health industry consolidation, but back in the 90s, it was roll-ups, and we were a very successful roll-up. But we were 9 acquisitions over 3 years, safety was always paramount. I always had the safety director for the organization report to my office versus underneath operations or even underneath HR. I'm not saying that's wrong. It's my focus that I had on safety, and it's our parent company was that way as well. And so it's always been something that's been very important to me. So as I moved with other organizations, safety has always been one of the first and foremost areas that I evaluated when stepping into a new role, you know, the first 90 days. Safety was one of those areas that was always on the radar in the first 90 days to take a focus on. So I was getting back to how I stepped into this. You know, by my last kind of corporate role, I was the interim CEO of a Department of Defense contractor out of Anchorage, believe it or not. But the main manufacturer was down in Alabama. And I was there interimly for about 9 months and found my replacement and then stepped back to Colorado. I was introduced to Del Dorn, the founder, through a mutual friend. We hit it off, and I said, you know, it's a smaller business, but you know, now I don't have to commute to either Flagstaff, Anchorage, or New York like I was for 20 years. Let's take a look at this. And again, safety's always been kind of top of mind for me, but over time, I guess it's become more of a passion because you're really impacting not only the bottom line, but you're impacting people. When they can come to work with the expectation that they're going to go home with all their fingers and toes, and they're going to go home without the musculoskeletal issues, that makes me feel good. So a little bit of the altruistic side of it as well. And at a point where doing something that truly makes an impactful difference for folks is definitely something that interested me. So it was a good match. And I came aboard in late 15, and we've done a good job of building the business. Now, even if we have to rebuild it because of where we're at, we're going to do that too, because we're here to stay.
Now, question for you real quick too. So with the stuff that you're doing virtually with Dorn, are you opening that to the general public, or is it currently only open to your clients?
We're open to the clients right now. You raise a good question, and I haven't probably put any enough thought into that. We have a couple of tools that in our five-year strategy, funny enough, we did five-year strategy in November and December, not factoring in what we're living through today, I guess. But the reality of it is in our five-year plan, we did have a B2C component to it that, the first month has been focused on how do we support our clients? How do we make sure that we have the right tools? But some of our tools can be opened up, and that's something that we should probably consider if this thing goes much longer in the current state that it's in.
No, because I mean, right now, of course, the focus on B2B makes absolute sense, but sometimes, of course, how the dynamics have changed significantly, the B2C market is there. Sure that you have some clients or potential clients that might even be interested in what you have to offer before they commit entirely to it.
Sure. No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And it's something that we're noodling through. We'd have to figure out resources and all that good stuff to make that happen, because it's an entirely different set of marketing tools and campaigns and things of that nature, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. And I think, interesting, I have a board meeting this afternoon, so thank you for the thought.
Glad I could bring that up. So if people want to know more information about you or your organization, where could they go to get there some more information?
Our website is dorncompanies.com, or they could just reach out to me directly at kevin@dorncompanies.com.
Okay. Well, Kevin, I really do appreciate you taking the time of actually coming on to the show today.
No, I appreciate it, Jay. And feel free if you have any follow-up questions to reach out. And it'd be great to get a copy of this. We have a database of 10,000 folks we'd like to get this in front of.
Well, this brings another episode of the Jay Allen Show to an end. Be on the lookout for Friday's episode. We're going to have a discussion on Friday about some things that I've been involved with. If you've been listening to the Rated R Safety Show, you'll kind of know exactly what I'm going to talk about. but I want to bring up some information about a consortium. So be on the lookout for that on Friday, and we'll have a discussion there. This brings another episode of the Jay Allen Show to a close. Don't worry, we'll be back before you know it. Goodbye for now.
Want more of the Jay Allen Show? Go to safetyfm.com.
Thank you for listening to Safety FM. We are here to help you in this time of need. Make sure to join us on Patreon.com/SafetyFM.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.